The Apostle Peter began his second letter that we're studying at the present time by showing that God has revealed some very special blessings for the benefit of his people. And as we look at verses 3 and 4, we see that God has provided what we need so that we can become partakers of the divine nature. That's very special. But to be more specific, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. I thought that it might be good for us to sing that song that we were just singing, Standing on the Promises of God. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention again. Whenever I hear that song or sing it, I think about something that happened years ago in Jacksonville. We knew a dear brother, an older man, who, after singing that song, he had a really thick Bible. It was about that thick and about that big. He actually put it on the floor and stood on it. He said, I'm standing on the promises of God. And that was a good illustration. But we need to appreciate the fact that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now these things, all these great blessings, will enable us to be partakers of the divine nature. That is, we can be God's true children. And then in verses 5 through 11, we find that God has provided the Christian graces. And the reason why he has given us these graces is to prevent us from falling. Now the graces are listed in verses 5, 6, and 7. And Peter tells us that we're to develop them with all diligence. That is, we're to give our very best effort in developing and growing in these graces. But keep in mind that these graces, according to verses 8 through 11, will prevent us from falling. Now, if something will prevent us from falling, we need to pay close attention to it. That ought to behoove us to want to know what the Bible has to say about these very special graces. And then with that knowledge, we need to develop these graces with all diligence. Let's spend just a moment in review. We pointed out, as Peter did, that faith is the foundation upon which the graces are to be added. You have to start somewhere. And, of course, the foundation is faith. To our faith, we're to add virtue. Virtue, as is considered in the Christian graces, has to do with courage and the determination to do what is right. When we studied virtue, we pointed out several great Bible characters who were courageous, and they were determined to do what is right, even under difficult circumstances. And we pointed out that the Lord took care of all of these people as they did so. To virtue, we are to add knowledge. Now, basically, knowledge is being aware of information. But knowledge, as is under consideration in the Christian graces, has to do with a very special kind of wisdom. We would call it moral wisdom. And it is demonstrated through right living. Knowing what is right and then putting it into practice. To knowledge, we're to add temperance that we studied last week. Temperance, of course, is self-control, self-discipline, having the passions and desires mastered, and being able to control our own lives. Well, this evening, for a little while, we want to concentrate on the fourth grace, which is patience. To temperance, we're to add patience. Well, if we're going to talk about something, we need to know what we're talking about. So let's be sure that we understand what patience is as Peter is writing about it in the Christian graces. Now, the word patience in English is used in different senses. And we need to point out that the Bible uses this word to refer to several different things. First, patience, sometimes in the Bible, refers to forbearance or long-suffering. An illustration would be James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. James 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, James was writing to Christians, but the illustration he used has reference to the farmer. Farmers have to be patient people. After they've put forth the work of preparing the soil, planting the seed, and taking care of it, they just have to wait. They have to wait until it's time for harvest. And while they're waiting, they hope to receive the rain, because that will enable the crops to grow, and he looks forward to receiving a great harvest. Well, that's one way in which the Bible uses the word patience. It has reference to forbearance or long-suffering. A farmer has to be long-suffering. But the word patience, as it is used in the Christian graces, has reference to endurance, perseverance, steadfastness, or the ability to bear up under trials. Now, one type of patience has to be demonstrated while we're going through difficult times. The other type of patience that we're concerned about is developed as a result of going through difficult times. So we use the same word patience today in English, but keep in mind that the Bible uses the word patience in two different senses. Sometimes the Bible refers to forbearance or long suffering, and the Bible teaches us to have that kind of patience. But in the Christian graces, patience has reference to endurance or perseverance. Well, let's talk about why it's so important for us to develop patience. Now, we've already touched on this to some extent. Patience is one of the Christian graces that will enable us to avoid falling away. Now, that ought to be enough reason, if we had no other reasons, to develop patience. It's one of the graces that will keep us from falling away. But let's consider some additional reasons given in the Scriptures showing why it is so important for us to develop patience. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 for just a moment. And in this chapter, a number of very important instructions are given. They're relatively brief, but there are a lot of instructions given in Romans 12. But verse 12, in the middle of the verse, it says, being patient in tribulation. Well, it's important for us to be patient while we face tribulation. The Bible teaches that God's people are not immune to tribulation. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that when they become Christians, they'll never have another problem in the world. I don't know where that idea came from. It certainly isn't based on Scripture. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the Bible actually says. Let's look at Acts 14 and read verse 22. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Notice what Paul and Barnabas were devoted to doing. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. In other words, to be patient. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now that verse very clearly connects tribulation with entering the kingdom of God. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we have to understand that when times of difficulty come our way, we're to exercise patience. Romans 12 and verse 12 said that we're to be patient in tribulation. We have to understand that without patience, tribulation can lead to a person falling away. In Matthew 13, let's consider one lesson that the Lord taught in his parable of the sower. This has reference to the seed that was sown on the stony ground. Jesus explained it. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That is, he stumbles and he falls. Jesus is using this as an illustration from agriculture to refer to someone who hears the gospel. He receives it, he believes it, and he obeys it. But after a little while, he faces some type of tribulation. And because he has not developed a solid root structure, he can't handle that tribulation, and it causes him to fall away. Can you begin to better appreciate the admonition to be patient in tribulation in Romans 12 and verse 12? Well, that's one reason why it's so important for us to develop patience and to grow in it. And in Luke 21 and verse 19, Jesus was speaking to his followers about the time when Jerusalem would be destroyed. The Lord predicted that great event, and he gave great details. And he let his followers know when to be prepared for that great event. And in his instructions, he said, get out of Jerusalem. We would say, head for the hills. When they saw certain signs taking place, they knew that the time was approaching. The Christians did exactly what the Lord said. And we have an uninspired source who says not one Christian lost his life when Jerusalem was destroyed. But thousands and thousands of people did lose their lives. Well, Jesus let his followers know that that great event was going to happen. And of course, it's unfortunate, but sometimes people want to take those signs and apply them to the Lord's return. Jesus used those signs to show his followers when Jerusalem would be destroyed, so that they would know when to leave. They left, and their lives were spared. But as Jesus was talking about the time when Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, he said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. It would be important for the Christians to exercise patience during that very difficult time, so that their souls and their lives would not be lost. Well, we need to talk about how patience is developed. We touched on this a few moments ago. The patience that we're concerned about in the Christian graces is developed as a result of going through tribulation or times of difficulty. Let's look at Romans 5 and read verse 3. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now later on we'll look at some verses in James chapter 1 that teach the same lesson. We develop patience as a result of going through tribulation. The Bible uses an illustration that I believe makes a very important point. The Bible talks about silver and gold that are tried in the fire. What's the purpose for trying silver and gold in fire? impurities are eliminated. And the final product is pure silver or pure gold. That's quite valuable. But without going through the fire, can it be pure? Can it reach its highest quality? No, it has to be refined. Well, we understand that when it comes to precious metals. Well, what about our faith? It can only reach its greatest degree if it's put to the test. And every time I read about Abraham, I just am amazed at that great man. He has the distinction of being called the friend of God. I've often wondered if Isaac went around telling his little buddies, "My daddy's the friend of God." I don't know that that happened. But Isaac sure had something to brag about, didn't he? Abraham is known as the friend, spelled with a capital F in my Bible, the friend of God. Abraham's faith was tested. When God called upon Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, Abraham got up early in the morning to take care of that. Can you imagine the relief that Abraham had in his heart when that voice said, "Do the lad no harm, because now I know that you fear God." Now, how did God know that Abraham really feared him? Because Abraham's faith was tested. Now, Genesis 22 begins by saying that God did tempt Abraham. James tells us that God does not tempt anyone. There's no contradiction, because sometimes the word tempt refers to a test of one's faith. Now, God did tempt Abraham in that sense. He put his faith to the test. But Abraham passed his test with flying colors. Consequently, he's called the friend of God. Well, patience is developed as a result of having our faith tested. I believe it's adequate to say that Abraham was a patient man. His faith was certainly tested, and as a result of having his faith tested, he developed patience, or steadfastness, or endurance. What a great man he was. Well, if it's so important that we develop patience, and we've seen that it is, can't live without it, we've got to have it. How is it that we develop patience? Well, as we've already pointed out from Romans 5 and verse 3, we develop patience as a result of going through tribulation. Well, let's look at some additional instructions and some Bible principles that will help us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. This is a wonderful passage. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Can you begin to understand why I read Revelation 21 and verse 4 so often? In heaven, there will be no sickness, no pain, no tears, no death, no crying. Well, that has reference to things that won't be in heaven. John says those former things have passed away. But then, John goes on to describe the great things in heaven. And if we think about how wonderful heaven is, and how glorious it is, I believe that will help us to endure tribulation here on this earth, or times of difficulty. remembering that future glory is far greater than the things that we have to contend with in this life. That's looking to the future and not being sidetracked with what's going on right now. We have to deal with what's going on now, but we always need to keep our eyes focused on what's down the road. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible right here. Future glory. The things that we deal with in this life are not worthy to be compared with that future glory. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. This is another one of my favorite scriptures. Now don't ask me which one is my most favorite. I love them all. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." That's a comforting passage. And it teaches us that God will not allow us to be tested above what we're able to bear. I get somewhat upset when I hear people quote this passage incorrectly. For years, I've heard people say, "I know the Bible says that God's not going to put on me more than I can handle." That isn't what the passage says. And the reference is this very verse. It isn't what it teaches. We've already shown from other scriptures that we will go through times of difficulty. But we have the assurance that God will not allow us to be tested above what we're able to bear. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very reassuring. God's on our side, and He wants to help us. And remember, we develop patience as a result of going through tribulation, but as we go through it, the Lord's not going to allow us to be tested above what we're able to bear. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I can't help it. Every time I read these verses, I think about sitting in class many years ago studying the book of Hebrews, sitting at the feet of one of my favorite teachers, and he camped out on these three scriptures, and I learned to appreciate them very much. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Now that's a reference to patience, isn't it? "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have the assurance that we can call upon the Lord for help, and we are reminded that He faced the same difficulties that we face. He faced His without sin. And how blessed we are to be able to come to Him for help and to look at His example as it is recorded in the Scriptures. And then let's turn to James chapter 1. We refer to these instructions by James just a few moments ago. He touches on how we develop patience and how we're to react when times of difficulty come. James 1, starting at verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, verse 3 teaches us that we develop patience as a result of having our faith put to the test. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, in general, we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. But the wisdom that James is referring to has reference to knowing how to face the difficulties that we're going through. And James says God will give that wisdom liberally. I heard someone explaining these passages a year ago, and he'd done a word study. And he pointed out that when it says that God upbraideth not, that actually means that God will not take your request and throw it right back in your face. In other words, when you ask God for wisdom to know how to bear up under trials, God will give that wisdom. And he won't just turn a deaf ear to that request. He'll give wisdom liberally. However, we need to demonstrate some wisdom as we're going through that. And there are many passages in the Bible that show us how to do that. And then let's tie in verse 12 as well. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, these are some principles and some instructions that will help us to develop patience. They show us how patience is developed, and we're also shown how to react in the right way. Well, let's talk about a few benefits of developing patience. Now, Peter says we're to develop patience with all diligence. What are some benefits? Well, keep in mind, the primary benefit we're concerned about in 2 Peter is that the graces, all of them, if they're added diligently, will keep us from falling. Well, let's look at some additional matters. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 this time. We've already looked at a few verses in Romans. Let's look at Romans 8 and read verses 24 and 25. These verses show us that patience will help us while we wait to receive our reward. Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Remember, in verse 18 of the same chapter, Paul's already talked about future glory. While we wait for that blessing to be given, we'll have to go through some times of difficulty. And the Bible teaches us to hope for that which we see not. I've never seen heaven, neither have you. But we certainly hope for it. Now, one day, hope will become a reality. But we have to wait. We have to wait until that last great day. Well, patience will help us to wait until we can receive the reward. Got a young sister who just graduated from college. I remember that very well. That's a good feeling to walk across that stage and get a diploma. I felt extra good when I received my diploma because my bill was paid in full. I did not owe one, I didn't have anything, but my bill was paid in full. What a great blessing that was. Not once, but twice. When you're going to school, if you're really putting forth the effort, it's a challenge. But if you can stick with it and exercise some patience to get that piece of paper, is a great feeling. And you think, it was all worth it. Now I can get on with the rest of my life. Well, there are all kinds of illustrations that have to do with the need for patience, athletics, just work in general. In our neighborhood, all of our houses are to the age where our roofs have to be replaced. We were fortunate to have ours replaced at the end of last year. But when I see those fellas out there in August working on the roof, and I can hear thunder off in the background, I thought, oh boy, that's rough. Many, many years ago, I did a little bit of roofing work. I just helped someone else who was putting on a roof. I figured out way back then that I didn't want to do that for a living. I certainly couldn't do it now. But it gets hot up on a roof in Florida in August. But you know, when that roof is finished, and the roofers will go around picking up all the debris, and they can look up and see that roof that did a good job, gives them a good feeling of satisfaction. That roof didn't get up there by itself. Well, there are all kinds of illustrations that have to do with the need for patience. Those fellows have to exercise patience. If they didn't have patience, they would be in a different line of work. I can guarantee you that. Well, there are many benefits that are associated with developing patience. Patience will help us while we wait to receive the reward that the Lord has promised. Patience will help us in bearing fruit. We've already referred to Matthew's account of the parable of the sower. Let's consider something that Luke wrote in his gospel. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, he was describing the good ground where some of the seed fell. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Notice how patience is tied in with bearing fruit. How important is it that we bear fruit? Well, Jesus dealt with that in John chapter 15 and verse 8. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Patience will help us in bearing fruit. Sometimes people will try something and maybe won't have the results that they would like and just give up and quit. Well, that's no way to be. A Christian realizes that there are wins and there are losses. But the answer is not quitting and giving up. In order to bear fruit on behalf of the Lord, we have to exercise some patience. We have to endure. We have to persevere. We have to be steadfast. And let's look at a statement found in Psalm 40 and verse 1. Patience will help us in our prayers. This particular psalm was written by David, and he began it by saying, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." That's a wonderful statement. When you study the life of David, you will see that he went through a lot of adversity. Sometimes he brought things on himself. Sometimes he suffered because of the actions of other people. There were times when his own father-in-law wanted to take his life and tried to. David spent a lot of time running away from King Saul, his father-in-law, because Saul wanted to kill him. There were times when David dealt with the bad activities of other people. He learned to call upon the Lord, but he also learned that when he called upon the Lord, he had to do so with patience. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." What a wonderful statement that is. I heard a fellow say one time, he was joking, he says, "I want patience and I want it now." Well, that isn't the way it works. It isn't something that we develop just instantaneously. We develop patience as a result of having our faith put to the test. We have to be patient in order to develop patience. Remember, one type of patience has reference to being long-suffering. We have to be long-suffering when going through periods of difficulty so that we can develop perseverance or steadfastness. You see how one type of patience leads to the other, and the Bible teaches us to develop both. Well, I don't know about you, but I find it helpful to look at Bible characters who provide great examples. Let's look at Jesus and Job because they stand out as great examples of patience. Concerning our Lord, let's look at Hebrews 12 and start at verse 1. Now remember in the previous chapter, the writer has referred to the great men and women of faith from the Old Testament. And he showed how those people ran their races with patience. They completed their journeys, and they were blessed accordingly. Based on all that information in chapter 11, the writer goes on to say in chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Okay? That admonition is based on what's just been presented in chapter 11. Seeing that we're surrounded by this great company of men and women from the Old Testament, let's be encouraged to run our races with patience. But in addition to receiving encouragement from them, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross," there's the patience of our Lord, "despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We're able to receive encouragement from the men and women of faith from the Old Testament, but above all of them, we're to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. He is a great example of patience. Now verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Jesus was patient. When I read about his dealings with the apostles, I sometimes wonder if the Lord ever got to the point that maybe he thought about choosing 12 more. But he made a wise choice. As a matter of fact, he spent all night in prayer to God before he made that decision. Jesus trained his apostles for a little over 3 years. And they needed some training, just like we do. But the Lord was patient. I'm sure that the apostles tried his patience. But Jesus was very patient. And he developed those men into great apostles who were great leaders in the early church. Jesus was patient, and he's patient today. Aren't you glad for that? I know I am. Well, let's mention Job in James 5 and verse 11. Any study of patience has to include Job. James 5 and verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Job went through a lot. It's hard to imagine the losses he suffered. And then it's hard to imagine the physical suffering that he endured. But he never did curse God. Now that's what Satan wanted. Satan wanted Job to curse God, but Job was patient. Job complained And he got to the point where he wanted to debate God and find out why he suffered as he did. He never did find out. He just had to endure. Well, I'm glad that book is recorded for us. It's a challenging book because it's written mostly in poetry. But it shows how a man can be tested and he can endure. He can be patient. And in the end, the Lord will bless him abundantly. Well, I hope this information is helpful concerning patience. Peter tells us that it's one of the graces that we're to develop with all diligence. And in connection with the other graces, it will keep us from falling.